Scanning the channels while pushing the buttons. I'm hungry for something to see. Checking out each station, looking at creation. Is there anything out there for me? Keeping on changing, they're always rearranging. I can't always come right back. Some show caught my eye, I think I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll learn the fact. Wait a minute now, I just found out how to fix a leak. I'll just stay tuned.
Welcome to the Conservative Liberal. We're in week 32, 2008. That's what we do here. Do everything by the week. As I said in my previous shows, it sure would be nice to do everything by the day, as most radio hosts do. But this is what I can do, and I'm going to do it the best I can. And I'm going to give you the highlights of the week. Play you some excerpts of my favorite talk show guys, some guys on the left, most of the guys on the right, because the guys on the right, even though they're right, they just make the most sense. And let's see, what's going on this week? Well, before we get into that, let's just talk about the world. Let's talk about America. America first, folks. That's the way I see it. Without America, there is no world. Have you ever just looked around and smelled the flowers? That's what I do. I don't know, I guess as you get older, you know that saying, just stop a moment and, you know, just smell the flowers. You know, I actually take that literally now. I mean, when I walk around my house and my yard and I see a flower, the first thing I do is I go over to that flower and I smell it. And I love the way it smells. Now, I don't know, maybe it sounds like I'm, you know, in touch with my feminine side, but I don't think so. I think it's a natural thing for any human being to appreciate God's work. And, you know, I mean, he's done amazing things with this planet. And, you know, you look around and you say, well, what's really happening to this planet? Are we, as human beings, to blame for some of the things that are going on? I would say yes. I would say, you know, for those of us who are mindful enough to, you know, try to live within our means, or as I mean that, you know, you're a little careful about what you do with your garbage, and you're careful about what how you drive, or if you're courteous to other people, and you know, that's what's important. I think you know, a lot of that that goes around comes around kind of thing. If you just take a look at, you know, what's around us and you say, you know, there are a lot of good people out there. I would say they're mostly good people. Absolutely mostly good people. But there are the bad people, you know, there's the bad apple that spoils the bunch, and it's maybe some kind of phrase that some genius came up with, but I do believe that. And we have to get rid of the bad apples wherever we can. So, you know, when you talk about the meek shall inherit the earth, well, you know, being meek doesn't necessarily mean weak. It means, you know, you're in touch with other people and what they believe, and you respect everybody, but you, on the other hand, you protect what's yours. And that's, you know, what we got to do, folks. We got to look out for what's ours. And America is what ours. I was watching a program the other day, I think, I don't know, it could have been 60 Minutes or something, and I was watching all of our scrap metal just being sold off to countries all over the world, especially China. And I'm thinking, you know, this isn't right. I mean, this is what makes a nation strong, is our metal. And we're just giving it away. So, you know, we gotta keep what's ours, and we gotta utilize it and find a way to, you know, use it in our own manufacturing to make our own weaponry. And, you know, the famous talk show host guy, one of my favorite guys, he said, the one with the most metal wins. I don't know if he actually said it. I think maybe he stole that from somebody, but the one with the most metal wins the war. Now, you know, if we lose, folks, You know, this is America. We don't need to be in some kind of global world, you know, as part of some global community. It's America first. That's what it is. And that's the way it has to always be. All right, I'm going to go to our first excerpt, and then we'll cover a few more stories. This show is about a 30-minute show. It's the way I've been timing it. I think I can get a lot across in 30 minutes. And hopefully you'll hang in there and listen to it and hopefully get something out of it. That's what we're here, folks. That's why I'm here, is we learn. We love to learn. Human beings have an innate nature to want to learn. And if you can learn something from me, it's a beautiful thing. And if I can learn something just by sharing my experiences of what I've learned for the week, then that's also a beautiful thing. All right, let's go to our first excerpt. Here we go.
Oil and you, and Obama and McCain. Okay, Barack Obama, big speech today on oil. He wants to give everybody $1,000 to pay your gas and heating bills, and windfall profit tax on the big oil companies would pay for that. That's Obama's vision. Okay, here's his ad. Roll the tape.
Every time you fill your tank, the oil companies fill their pockets. Now, Big Oil's filling John McCain's campaign with $2 million in contributions. Because instead of taxing their windfall profits to help drivers, McCain wants to give them another $4 billion in tax breaks. After one president in the pocket of Big Oil, we can't afford another. Barack Obama. A windfall profits tax on Big Oil to give families a $1,000 rebate. A president will stand up for you.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Okay, windfall profits on one industry. Is that constitutional? The answer is no. Not. You're not going to get it by the courts. And I doubt if you get it by the Congress. Okay? But you might get it by a Democratic Congress. But it's really not constitutional. You can't go in and say, look, I'm going to have a windfall profits on one industry. You know, and they're going to look at you like, wait a minute. You know, that's not constitutional. You can't select one industry and punish them with a higher oil tax, even if Congress passes the law. It get tied up for years. The oil companies would litigate it for years. So it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Sounds good. Windfall profits, mean oil companies. Let's get them and give the money to the folks. That sounds pretty good.
Listen, Mr. Riley, you don't have all the answers. I say that if the American people are getting gouged, and we are, and you can't just say one industry. That is the industry. You know, don't put all the industries in the same class, okay? I mean, oil, I mean, when you think about it, it's a natural resource, and it's bankrupting our country. Going out there to these countries like Iraq and going and fighting these wars is expensive. I mean, Iraq had an $80 billion surplus this year, and we're spending $80 billion every month to fight this thing. So, you know, I don't know. I say you don't go after maybe the corporations in the sense that, you know, those are the American companies, the refineries, but you certainly go after the countries who have the resources, because that's what, we, you know, you have to do that. I mean, has anybody taken a real good look at Dubai lately? I mean, American is doing a great job building up that country. I mean, Dubai is like something I've never seen before. I mean, it's like Manhattan, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas on steroids. It's ridiculous what's going on with the money that they're making from something that we've helped them do, create. I mean, I don't know. There should have been some kind of royalty or something. In other words, they couldn't get the oil out themselves. They needed our technology, our know-how to do it. So I say, you know, you don't go after the corporations, go after the resources. And I know that sounds hardcore, but you know what? We have to be hardcore. We have to do it, folks. That's just the way it is. That's what I believe. All right, let's go on to another one here. Here we go. Another excerpt.
We have in this city, out of control, illegal aliens, some felons who are being shielded by the mayor and the supervisors, who it came out over the weekend, spent over $600,000 over the last few years to shield youths from El Salvador and Central America, there is Central America, who were openly selling drugs, to shelter them from deportation by the federal government. If that's not aiding and abetting, if ever we needed the federal government to step in and take over this city and arrest the mayor and the supervisors, it's now. One of these scum-sucking vermin executed a father and two sons a few weeks ago. The mayor has said nothing about it recently. The DA refuses to prosecute using the death penalty. We are sitting here as citizens unprotected by these out-of-control maniacs called supervisors and the mayor. But wait, it gets worse. They spend almost $1 million protecting drug dealers. And now the supervisors want to shut down soda shops but keep the homosexual bathhouses open. That's correct. They're promoting good health, they say. Last week, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted to make the city the first in the country to ban the sale of cigarettes in pharmacies. But that's only the beginning. They want chain restaurants to post nutritional information, including calories and fat content. But that's not enough for them. Now they want to mandate that soda shops, basically, and soda not be sold in the city. Banning cigarettes in pharmacies, placing stringent limits on smoking, forcing restaurants to post nutritional data, charging a fee for selling sugary sodas, labeling restaurants as trans fat free, promoting exercise and healthful diets, closing streets to cars on certain days, requiring employers to back public transit.
I don't think, Michael, directing our animosity towards the mayor and, you know, his henchmen is the way to go. I think what we need to do is we need to talk more about our communities and neighborhood watches and getting people more proactive in getting rid of these scum. You know, I mean, if the mayor is not doing a good job, well, he's just, you know, obviously he's not doing a good job, and he'll be gone, hopefully. But I think that the more we, you know, skirt the issues and start talking about, you know, going in the direction of just pointing our fingers, I think it's a dangerous thing because it really is not productive. So what we need to do is we need to call in arms of our citizens to go after these scum. And, you know, kind of, you know, look at kind of like the olden days, you know, the Western days where, you know, they had some public lynchings. I mean, I know that, you know, that we're not supposed to be doing that kind of thing or even talking about it, but we need to do that kind of stuff and show the bad people, the scum of the earth, that they can't get away with this stuff. They're going to be in deep caca if they do the kinds of things that they think they can get away with. Because they're going to say, well, right now they're not really afraid of the police. Because, I don't know, you know, you're going to probably have, you know, the police, sheriffs, different folks in those capacities. You know, I would say, they're involved and they're getting paid off and they're just, you know, they're not going to do what they're supposed to do because it's not wetting their beaks, so to speak. So if as citizens, we get involved, we get proactive and we go after these scum, that's what's going to scare the hell out of them. That is what's going to scare the living hell out of them. So folks, that's what we need to talk about. We need to band together as a community and get rid of these scum. Let's go to the next excerpt. Someone's at the door. I
don't know who it is. What is the true cost of a trade-in? If fuel prices are behind your urge to drive a smaller vehicle, here's what you need to consider if you own a bigger one that you want to get rid of. First, how much does fuel cost you now, and how much will it cost with a new car? Then how much could you get for your old car, and how much more money would you need to come up with to acquire a new one? Philip Reed, the senior consumer advice editor at Edmunds.com, was on the tennis court a month ago when a friend asked him what he ought to do about his Ford Escape SUV. I said, you probably don't want to hear this, but the best thing is to keep driving it. Mr. Reed said his colleague huddled to come up with a way to help consumers do the math, and the result is the gas guzzler for gas stipper, gas guzzler for gas sipper trade-in calculator at Edmunds.com. Anyway, without burdening you with a bunch of numbers as details, is a small car practical? You'll be tempted to play with the Edmunds.com calculator by swapping your hulking Chevy Suburban for a tiny Honda Fit or an itty-bitty hybrid of some sort. But let's get back to reality for a moment. It's nice to fantasize about tripling your fuel economy, but you might have a trailer to tow, or perhaps you're larger than average and are not comfortable in small cars. It takes the New York Times to help people figure this out. Let me tell you something, folks. I can tell you after this weekend, I know that I'm a little large for a smart car. I do not have to read the New York Times to figure this out. I also know that a smart car could not tow a boat that I don't have. But if I wanted to go get a boat, I know this thing would barely tow a lawnmower. Checking out each station,
looking at creation. Well, I don't think you've got the right message there, Rush. I know that you're trying to, justify what you do, and that's the way it sounds to me. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Everybody's got to chip in. I mean, if more people drove smart cars, it would make a huge difference. We talked about in previous shows how any kind of public transportation, as far as taxis, mail trucks, delivery trucks, any of those kind of things, mandated. They got to be electric in 3 years. I mean, the cars that are on the roads all the time, doing coming here, going there. People who have long commutes should consider buying cars like the smart car. Absolutely great idea. I think that for me, I don't have to drive a whole lot. So when I drive, I like having a big car. I mean, I'll be the first one to say, hey, I love big cars. And I align myself with Rush in that way. I mean, I just want to be comfortable. And, and right now, the way it stands, if I was a serious commuter and I had to go to point A to point B, I would consider using public transportation. I would consider having a smart car. But for my lifestyle and the way I work, it's not necessary. But there's a lot of people out there that have been contemplating this. And I think people should step up and do it. I absolutely do. So, it's like saying, well, if I'm not willing to do it, why should I say that you should do it? I just think that people have to think for themselves and do what's right for them. But, no justification here for what I want to do and for what they should do or what Russia's doing. It's all an individual choice. But we all have to be smart about our choices, and we have to look at the long term, not just the everyday in the moment kind of thing. Look at the long term, folks. If you're losing some money on a big car, you're losing some money. But if you're helping the environment, you're helping. So it's sometimes you have to take a loss for the ultimate gain. That's the way the world works. It's the circle of life in that way. So, or keep your big car, just use it for, like I do for the big long trips or whatever, or the vacations once in a while. And get the car that you need that you're going to be using and putting most of the miles on that's going to save you money and help the environment. That's the way it is. All right, let's see. What do we have next? Here we go.
It is. I've been called judgment. You're judging. You should never judge.
You can judge, absolutely.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, everybody says you shouldn't judge, but if you tell them they look nice, they'll take that judgment, won't they?
Right, they
people,
will. Right.
People only call it judging when it's something negative. It's what you don't want to do, and what Scripture talks about when it's talking about judging. It's saying, don't put yourself on a high horse and put somebody beneath you and say, oh, look how bad they are. No, but you can say, hey, this is harmful for you. You can make judgments based. You're not making a core judgment on the person, on their heart. You're making a judgment on the things that they're doing.
Their behavior,
yes,
right?
And that's different, and that's okay.
That's what I said.
And productive.
I told her, I said, for a 40-year-old woman to leave her husband and sleep around and put her mother into abject poverty is not right. Well, you have no right to judge me.
Well, then you can say, okay, well, I won't judge you, but I can judge myself. And I can't pay for your bills. I love you dearly,
right?
But I can't be a partner in this because I feel that it's, I feel that it's bad for you, and I feel that it's bad for her, the niece, and she said, I'm not going to be a part of it. I love you, and if you ever want to go out to lunch or you want to come over, any of those things, I'm absolutely here for you. But I'm not going to partake in you doing something that I feel is damaging to you. So much so that you're having to borrow money from me.
Right.
Because
right.
She's taking so much of it. I don't think you're helping her.
You have no.
When people call up and talk to strangers, because essentially when you call up and you talk to someone you want, that you respect and you like to get some advice from, I think that the advisor, the one giving advice, needs to be very mindful of the advice that they're giving. I think the advice needs to be more like, well, if I was in that situation, this is what I would do. Because people, you have to make your own decisions, your own choices on how to handle things. If you have somebody that's close to you, or maybe not so close to you, it doesn't really matter. It's what you want to do to think what's right for you in this situation, whether you think that you need to help that person. I mean, that's what we're here, folks, for. We're here to be givers. We're here to help people when we can, if we have the capacity, if we're in that capacity to help people, that's what we should do. So someone who doesn't really know your situation or know the other person should not just be so forthright in saying, well, this is what you should do. Folks, I think that the advice givers out there should just put it in different words and say it again, this is what I would do in that situation. I mean, you know, you can't give advice if you don't have all the facts. You got to hear both sides of the story. You can't hear one side, you got to hear the other side. Then you can say, well, again, this is the way I would put it. This is what I would do in that situation. That's the way you give advice. All right, let's see. We're going to go one more. We're going to do a little religious thing, and then comment on that, and then we're going to do our final news of the week. Okay, here we go.
May I say, it just looked like there was no help for him at all. Anywhere, and he went out. Well, listen to David, will you, with that kind of a background. This is the psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He's speaking right out of his heart, friends, as he leaves Jerusalem. And he says, many are they who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. God has forsaken him, but God hasn't. And thank God today, friends, when somebody says to me, I can't understand how God would put up with a man like David, I always feel like saying to a person like that, well, if God will put up with David, maybe he'll put up with you and he'll put up with me. Thank God he's this kind of a God, friends, that he puts up with folk like this and will forgive them when they come to him. But that didn't mean David didn't pay for his sin. He sure did. And so he says, many are they who say of my soul, there's no help for him in God.
You gotta love these stories. I mean, they're just wonderful. Stories right out of the Bible. It's just, you can't even express, words can't express, although that's what this, you know, talk show, being a talk show host is expressing your words so you can, people understand what you're feeling. Well, when I hear these stories, I on one hand just feel, you know, blessed of all the things that have, you know, all the good things that have happened with me in my life, and blessed to live at this time in this world. On the other hand, when I hear somebody talk about religion in such a way where no matter what anybody does in the world, as long as they praise Jesus or God, then they can be saved. And I personally, my own thoughts, don't believe that. I think that there are limits to that. I mean, I think that if you do something that, I mean, there are degrees of what bad is. I mean, if you take, you know, Saddam Hussein, Hitler, you know, people like this, I don't care how much they, you know, pray to God or Jesus to save their souls. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think there are degrees on how bad people are and what they've done. People who rape and maim and mutilate little children. It doesn't matter what they say to God or Jesus. I don't know where they're going to go, but it isn't going to be heaven. So that's just my personal belief. I believe that if you have done something bad, I think it's okay to want to try to, you know, pray to Jesus or God or, you know, to save you at the end. But folks, you got to be real, you know, you got to be real here to what you really have done. I mean, if you took a candy bar and you feel guilty about that, or, I mean, no, that's probably a pretty simple thing. You know, you stole a candy bar from a liquor store. I think that's pretty minor offense. To, you know, maybe a white collar type of crime where you maybe didn't report all your taxes. But once you start getting into that area of where you've taken somebody's life or you've mutilated somebody and you have no shame at that time, and then later on you think about what you've done and you say, well, I really feel bad for that. I don't know. I don't think heaven's going to be the place where you're going to go. That's just, you know, that's just the way it is. Well, let's see. Let's report the news. Big news all over the news. Mr. John Edwards, who was the Democratic candidate, was caught with his hand in a cookie jar, and he admitted it. I don't know. He's a man, and I think that most men, you know, they shouldn't come out and say what they've done. I think that it's very hurtful to their spouses and their families. I think that certain things you should just deny. I think what President Clinton did, I think he did it best when he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I think he was doing it not to be a liar. I think he was doing it just because I think there are just certain things that should the public should not have to know. There are personal things. We're human beings, and we need to have our own personal things, our personal thoughts, personal things that we do that doesn't affect anybody else other than ourselves, and maybe when we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, but that's our own thing. So I think for him to come out and admit these things, I don't know, it's all wrong, folks. And maybe he was just forced into it. The paparazzi and their spies and, you know, making people do things and say things that they don't want to say just because they wanted to go away. I don't know. It's a difficult situation for people who are in the spotlight like that. Let's see what else we got. We got, the candidate, Mr. Obama, is on vacation this week. He's going out into Hawaii and taking some time off. Well deserved. You know, people need to get rested. You know, I don't know, couldn't even imagine what that'd be like to be on a campaign trail for as long as he's been on it, nonstop. You know, everybody needs to regroup. So no fault to him. I mean, I hear people talking about, oh, you know, he's in the heart of the campaign. How dare him take a vacation? You know, everybody needs to wind down, slow down, and gather their thoughts and spend time with their families. That's what makes them better people. And then first and foremost, we have a dire situation between Russia and Georgia. I don't know all the facts. I wasn't there. But when aircraft starts, you know, unleashing bombs in civilian areas and killing innocent people, you know, the whole world has to come together and say something about that and do something about it. I don't know what you can do, but you got to find out what's going on, get to the bottom of it. I mean, you can say, oh, the United Nations should all, you know, United Nations, they don't do anything. So I don't know what the answer is going to be, but we better start talking about it, folks. We can't have, you know, wars going out all over the place. We don't even know what this is over some land, some property, beliefs. We need to get to the bottom of it, why these things happen, and then try to do what we can diplomatically to get people to, you know, curb this stuff. It's not good for the world here, folks. We need to get out of Iraq as soon as we can in a safe manner and let the Iraqi people, you know, take care of themselves. We'll always be around. I mean, we're around Germany. We're around Japan. I mean, and, you know, it goes back to them saying how McCain, you know, says that, well, we, you know, if we have to be there for 100 years, of course, that's the way it is. We have to have military bases all around the world to try to control the insanity that's all around the world. Well, anyways, folks, I'm glad you were here with me today. I hope everybody got something out of our today's program. It was just nice to be here again and share my thoughts with you all. So God bless, and may all your dreams and visions, hopefully good visions, go the way you want them to go and come true. But just be mindful of the person next door and just try to communicate in a positive way. And be courteous out there, folks. When you're driving your cars, let people in. It's not going to mean a thing to you to be a second or two late. It's not going to mean a thing. You'll make it up somewhere else. You know what? You know what's going to matter? It's going to matter in your heart that you've done something good, even in the smallest things. Those small things add up, folks. So till we meet again, see ya.
Keeping on changing, they're always rearranging. I can't always come right back. Some show caught my eye, I think I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll learn the fact. Wait a minute now, I just found out how to fix a leak. I'll just stay tuned, they'll be right back. Maybe they'll give me a peek. Now it's time to buy. Here's my card, you caught me off guard. Here's a chance to win a free trip to the moon. Take all my info, you know where I want to go. I can't get there too soon. Into the screen, into the screen, into the screen, into the screen. Can't seem to get away, I don't know why they want me to stay. I keep on wanting more. Why won't I shut it off? Can't seem to get it off. Someone just showed me the door. The telephone is ringing and I can't just answer it. Someone just say something you want.